Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Former President Trump's sentencing, is that going to get pushed back? We're going to find out soon. Huge fundraising numbers for Kamala Harris again, some evacuations in the Inland Empire because of a fire, and red flag warnings for the mountains.
It's going to be really hot and sticky today, and yeah, the winds are going to pick up. Let's go live to Malibu this morning and talk to our John Baird.
I just got off the phone again with the National Weather Service, and what I'm being told is this red flag warning was really triggered by the heat, the extreme hot weather conditions, more than the wind. Now, there are some winds right now, but nothing like the Santa Anas that we typically get, say, in October, November. So we have an excessive heat warning extended through Monday night. Now we have the red flag warning, which means elevated fire danger. Mike Wofford is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service.
We've had a number of cases over the past several years where we've gotten some large fires develop just from extreme heat. And very little wind. So we felt it was necessary to get the word out to the fire agencies that this could potentially be a very hazardous situation, even if we didn't have a lot of wind.
But here's the thing. This heat wave isn't going to let up for days. He says even when the temperatures do fall, like maybe next Wednesday, we'll be back to what is considered normal for this time of year, hot weather.
Evacuation warning in effect for neighborhoods in the Inland Empire. This is east of Highland. Firefighters trying to put out a brush fire there. Flames were initially burning towards the forest, National Forest, but things changed overnight. Went from about 170 acres to over 500 in a few hours. Cal Fire posting the evacuation warning on X. This is the Line Fire. Started about 6 yesterday evening. No containment, not clear how it started.
Three teenagers being accused of starting that wildfire that destroyed 7 homes in the city of Riverside over the summer in July say they set off illegal fireworks.
Surveillance footage captured 3 individuals involved in lighting the illegal fireworks in an open field in our city, followed by footage of them leaving in a silver pickup. Riverside's Arson Investigations Unit, alongside our Technical Services Unit, worked diligently to identify 3 suspects.
Chief of Police in Riverside talking about how they tracked these guys down.
Investigators located the silver pickup and subsequently identified 3 individuals as 16-year-old juveniles. Search warrants were obtained and served at their homes, where electronic devices were seized as part of this investigation as well. Today, 27 charges of willful and malicious fire setting were filed against these juveniles.
That wildfire, as we said, not only destroyed 7 homes, but damaged another 17.
New York judge who presided over Donald Trump's hush money trial expected to announce today whether he'll delay the sentencing of the former president, set right now for September 18th. CBS correspondent Graham Cates has more on the decision that's facing Judge Juan Merchan, a case where Trump was convicted of more than 30 felonies.
Trump has maintained his innocence in the case in which prosecutors say he signed off on a scheme to hide reimbursements to a lawyer who wired a $130,000 hush money payment to the adult film star Stormy Daniels days before the 2016 presidential election. The jury in May found him guilty on all 34 counts in the case. And Merchan has wide leeway in determining Trump's sentence. The charges carry a maximum sentence of up to 4 years in jail, but Merchan can also hand down a sentence that involves a variety of alternatives to incarceration, including probation.
Trump is appealing, asking the judge to delay the sentencing till after the presidential election in November.
Another court hearing in New York on a different case.
The former president is appealing a 2023 verdict that held him liable for sexually abusing columnist E. Jean Carroll in a department store dressing room in the 1990s. Trump was ordered to pay $5 million in the case after a jury found him liable for battery and defamation. Carroll added the charge of battery under a new law in New York that allows adult survivors of sexual abuse to sue their alleged attacker without regard to the statute of limitations. Trump has denied all allegations of rape or defamation. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Vice President Harris raising double than what former President Trump took in from donors in August. Her campaign announcing it raised $361 million from nearly 3 million donors, first full month as a candidate. Trump's team announcing Wednesday brought in $130 million over the same period. Harris's team says they ended the month with $404 million on hand for the final sprint into Election Day, $100 million more than Trump's campaign says it had at the end of August. 20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs. We've told you here the father of the teen accused of the school shooting in Georgia has been arrested. Actually, both of them were in court today. Dad facing several charges, including involuntary manslaughter, second-degree murder, because they say he gave that rifle that was used to his son. If this sounds familiar, it has happened before in Michigan. Parents convicted earlier this year after their son did a school shooting. This was the Crumbly family. Are we going to see this more? Tim Carey is with the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Violence Solutions.
Hi, Tim.
Good morning, all. Thanks for having me.
So we've had countless shootings, mass shootings, school shootings, and two of these cases where the parents are charged. So going forward, if parents are charged, maybe other parents will do a better job of locking up their guns and preventing access for their kids. Or maybe kids who might be thinking about a mass shooting won't do it because they're concerned about their parents. But that's a lot of maybes. Do we just take progress where we can get it at this point?
Well, that's a tough question. I mean, it's very fact dependent, these sort of cases. I mean, we have research dating back from past few decades that show that the overwhelming majority of guns used in school shootings by youth are accessed in from their parents' homes, from the homes of friends, but what really distinguishes this case potentially, but especially the Crumbly case, is the egregious nature of it. That it shocks the senses, all of the meaningful opportunities for intervention that were missed, and all of the harms that were actively enabled by the parents. And I think that really distinguishes what we're seeing here from perhaps shooting trends in the past.
Right, because we've got this reporting that this gun was a gift after the law enforcement actually came to interview the whole family about these online posts. There was a post on Discord talking about a shooting, and of course the kid said, I wouldn't have ever made those, that wasn't me. But if the cops are at your house and they want to talk to you about all that and you still buy a rifle for your son, then, I mean, that's where the prosecutors are starting to draw all these links.
No, exactly. And that's, again, what we saw in the Crumbly case, where the parents actively gave the child the gun, ignored clear concerns from school staff that they'd seen disturbing messages and threats and about violence that then later culminated into a shooting later that day. And again, facts are still emerging in this Georgia case, but we are starting to see some parallels here.
Increasing accountability for these shootings, of course, is one step, but you've said much more needs to be done in terms of mitigating the risks of more gun violence in schools. What does that mean?
Exactly. The best cure is prevention. And there are a broad array of evidence-informed toolkits that can help prevent shootings like this from happening. Especially in this case, there are two laws that come to mind particularly. The first are safe storage laws, especially child access prevention laws that many states across the country already have, that essentially require adults, firearm owners, to store their guns in safe and secure manner, especially when they think that they could potentially be accessed by children and people who shouldn't have access. We've seen these laws have a profound impact, especially on reducing pediatric firearm injuries, reducing firearm suicides, especially for adolescents, as well as some promising data for shootings and homicides and gun deaths as a whole. But in this case, if it's true that the father gave the child the gun instead of the child accessing it through some impermissible means, there's also another law that could have potentially been helpful, which are known as extreme risk protection orders, otherwise called red flag laws, that 21 states and the District of Columbia have, that allow courts to temporarily disarm people if those individuals are found to pose a serious risk of harm to themselves or others with firearms. And this case seems like a textbook instance of where that law could have saved lives.
Yeah, you got to say something. All right, Tim Carey with the Johns Hopkins Center there for Gun Violence Solutions. Tim, thanks.
America's military is shrinking because the troops are expanding, and it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas at some big box stores. That and more coming up. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
The House Republicans coming after the Biden-Harris administration and the handling of illegal immigration. The GOP-led House committee holding a hearing in San Diego this morning. Daryl Issa, representative hosting this, he's calling it the Biden-Harris border crisis, California perspective. Several local officials going to testify, including the Riverside County DA. Democrats say despite Harris being labeled as some kind of border czar, her policy focused more on immigration's root causes in some countries instead of wider border management.
Speaking of wider, there's a new study that finds obesity among American troops is costing the Defense Department more than $1 billion a year.
The American Security Project, a Washington-based think tank that studies national security issues, found that obesity is the leading cause for disqualification among those who try to enlist in the military, and last year was the number one reason active duty troops were kicked out of the military. The study says it's not just obesity that's the problem, it's obesity-related conditions, including diabetes, osteoarthritis, hypertension, and liver disease. Stripes.com says the report recommends the Pentagon provide young enlisted troops health and nutrition education and access to quality foods. Christopher Cruz, CBS News, Washington.
Israeli forces appear to have withdrawn from three refugee camps in the occupied West Bank.
Overnight, Israeli armored personnel carriers were seen leaving the Jenin refugee camp from a checkpoint set up on one of the main roads, while troops also had pulled out of the Tul Karam camp by Friday morning and had left Al-Farah earlier. But in a statement, the Israeli military suggested the operation was not yet over. Israeli military officials have said they've been targeting militants in the three camps in an attempt to curb recent attacks against Israeli civilians that they say have become more sophisticated and deadly. I'm Charles Ledesma.
Boeing's astronaut capsule is set to depart the International Space Station this afternoon without the crew. NASA's two test pilots will stay behind as the Starliner capsule prepares to undock and aims for touchdown in New Mexico. The exit follows months of turmoil over the safety. The astronauts should have returned to Earth aboard the Starliner in June after a week-long mission, but their trip to space, well, it had some thruster failure issues and helium leaks. NASA ultimately decided it was too risky for the astronauts, so they're going to return next year, they say, aboard SpaceX. Do you have some plans for tonight? If not, are you into old cult classic movies? LA Council member Heather Hutt tells our Craig Figner she's hosting what she calls a date night.
Movies in the Park.
Leimert Park. It's going to be fun. It's like a date night. We're showing Love and Basketball, which is an old cult movie, and it has Gabrielle Union. It'll be fun. So we'll have popcorn and, you know, bring your date out. We're going to start at 6. We do a lot of fun stuff, like there'll be some painting and like ice cream, all that kind of stuff first. And then the movie, When Sun Goes Down, it shows on a big old blow up.
And is it, you know, totally I always like to ask, yeah, free.
Okay. Totally free. It's so good to be in community. This is the best time to do it. It's going to be so warm on Friday night. It'll be easy for people to come out and sit on the grass and watch a movie.
That's our Craig Figner talking to L.A. City Council member Heather Hutt.
20 minutes of nonstop news. One of the most important job reports of the year came out this morning. Economy added 142,000 jobs last month, about 20,000 lower than expected, but way better than last month, which was really sluggish. So what does it all mean? We talked to University of St. Thomas econ professor Tyler Shipper.
So what does this report tell us about what the Fed might do on interest rates?
You know, actually, I think this report sets up a very interesting Fed meeting in September that very rarely do we go into a Fed report not knowing exactly what will happen. And right now, market prognosticators, you know, think it's 50-50 whether we get 25 basis points or 50 basis points. So could happen with that supercut.
Yeah, so it's not an issue of if, it's just how big is it going to be. Talk to me about this fear that the Fed may have held off on cutting the rates and now it's been too long and that's now been a drag on everything. Do you share in that worry?
You know, to some extent, yes. I think that there was a good argument for the Federal Reserve to cut by 25 basis points or 0.25% in their last meeting. The tricky thing with all of this policy is that right now, if you look at the economy, it's not terrible. The jobs market is not terrible. It's that those trend lines are kind of going in the wrong direction, and any kind of Fed policy takes a while to kick in. And so it's whether a cut in September kicks in fast enough to kind of normalize that trend line in the job market right now.
The quote from you, the economy is not terrible. Okay.
You know, we should even make that a little bit better. Like, if you look at the top line numbers, a unemployment rate of 4.2% is great. I try and like hedge with that a little bit because people don't feel great about the economy.
Well, yeah. And so that's what I was going to say. It's a big political issue in this election. So who wins on this report, the Democrats or the Republicans?
You know, it gets really tricky with who wins now that we've kind of had a shakeup in the presidential election, where before anything that was bad or felt bad about the economy was absolutely on the Biden administration. And despite the fact that Harris is from the Biden administration, there seems to be a little bit of a disconnect there that she doesn't have as much ownership over the bad things of the economy because they weren't necessarily strictly her policies. And so that has created a little bit of a shakeup about a jobs report like this, where it's not too hot, not too cold. It doesn't really change anything substantially. How does this play into politics, I think, is anybody's guess. It doesn't really make everybody hopeful about the future necessarily, but it's hard to see who they attribute that to.
When people hear, you know, job market slowdown, what does that actually translate to in practice? Like, if they're looking for a job, what's the biggest change?
Yeah, the biggest change is that it's harder right now to, like, leave your job and go immediately find a new one. So if you kind of wound back the clock by 18 months or so, people could reliably leave their job or quit their job and expect to find a new, better one that paid higher very quickly. So a slower job market right now just means that there's less what we like to call churn. There's not as many people finding those new jobs and leaving their old jobs as there would have been in the kind of much quicker, faster job market in about a year to 18 months ago.
All right. So here it is. We got the quote from you, right?
Not terrible.
It's not terrible. The economy is not terrible. But Tyler, what's the one word?
You know, I'm actually going with relief. And it's relief because, you know, the car slowed down, but the wheels haven't fallen off yet. And I still have hopes that there's time for those interest rate cuts to kind of help out the economy to really engineer this true soft landing where we don't actually end up in a recession at the end of this process. And I think there's still time for that, but we're going to need both those rate cuts to be, I think, sustained going into next year, and also the Federal Reserve to make sure that they're there if they do need to do more to boost the economy.
University of St. Thomas, econ professor Tyler Shipper.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.